This is Monday morning, 1965, February the 22nd. We are at the old Ragsdale Mortuary, where we have a number of ministers gathered, and they are deciding, and we're going to discuss with them this morning, the feasibility of establishing the Universal Memorial Center. We have been entertained now by some ministers. The president of the Minister Alliance is Reverend Harrison of the CME Church. All the ministers are about here now. The time is approximately 11:40. We have Bishop Taylor here, who is a man 89 years old, Mother Taylor, Eloise Jones. They're all here to hear what we have to say. Mr. Austin Coleman will be conducting the program. Then we have a welcome address. So we hope that things will go along. We should be very critical.
Entertain you here today, and I hope during the rest of this meeting that you will pray for us.
I want to acknowledge
the presence of Bishop Taylor and Reverend Ross,
Reverend Thompson,
who are
in
Phoenix, and we are certainly
happy that they could
come along today.
Also,
we are happy to have the visitors with us. I heard on yesterday Reverend Grant, who was visiting my church, and by the way, he is the father of one of our great entertainers, Errol Grant, a great organist, and I know you've heard of him. And he's a very fine speaker, his father, and we certainly are happy to have him visiting with us. At this time, I would like to ask the ladies in the rear to pass you a calendar. We have some calendars that we spent 60 cents per calendar to make up these calendars. Quite expensive, but we did it for a purpose. And when you get these calendars, we will outline this purpose to you. I think it was very nice of Reverend Dunbar to allow us today to entertain you instead of himself, and we certainly are happy that you could find it available to all of you to come. We have been quite interested in the work of the Ministerial Alliance for some years, and I remember on last year, or maybe just a little better than a year ago, I had an opportunity to meet with you on a couple of occasions myself, and I think the work that you men are doing in our city is very fine, and we want to commend you for that work. On last year, we put out in our various enterprises three different calendars. We had one for the mortuary, one for the life insurance company, and this particular calendar you see here was done in a different manner, and we sent these to schools and business places and also to churches. But this year, we only have this one calendar, and we find that this calendar has a significant role for all Negroes. Now, today, many places across the nation are closed because we are celebrating our first president's birthday, George Washington. But many times, our boys and girls in school, and perhaps you have gone to school, you know that you have never celebrated the birthday of a great Negro. And for this reason, we find it necessary to at least give our people a chance to know something about Negro history. Now, this calendar that you are looking at here will tell the story in part of the many great Negroes who have lived and who are still living and who have contributed greatly to our society. You just might glance through this calendar with me. In January, we see here the picture of Whitney M. Young, who is present Urban League director, Mr. Roy Wilkins, who is the director of the NAACP, We notice here a young man named Charles Young who rode horseback from Ohio to Washington, D.C. to prove that he was fit enough to enter the U.S. Armed Services. He died in Liberia. We move over to February and we see great men such as Frederick Douglass, who was one of the first abolitionists, and by the way, who was a Negro. We see here a picture of a young man named Reverend Lockridge, of whom many of you know. This man is a very dynamic young minister in San Diego, California at this time. We can glance through here and we see some of our other great men in the country. We see Hobson R. Reynolds, who is Grand Exalted Ruler of the Elks. Moving on through here to April, see Dr. Ralph Bunch, James Farmer. Many of these names you have heard of. Moving through May, we see Dr. William H. Hale, who's president of Langston University, and many of you had the opportunity to meet him when he was in our city. We see Mr. Sammy Davis, Jr., who has contributed much to the civil rights movement through contributions and through other acts that he has been able to do. We move on, and we see in June, Mrs. Marian Anderson, who has been said to be one of the greatest voices to ever live. This lady has performed before kings and queens, and she's a member of our race, and I think these great people that we will see throughout this calendar, we can be proud of, for they are all Negro. Amen. Now, there are some whites in the calendar, however, men like John F. Kennedy, who has contributed greatly to the Negro cause, President Johnson, and a few others, but most of these people on this calendar are Negroes. And we want you to take these calendars into your homes, and we want you to have them in your churches, and we want your boys and girls, your men and women, to see the great Negroes who have lived and died for this country. Now let us move up to the top of the calendar on the front, and you will see a picture of the Universal Memorial Center. The Universal Memorial Center. Now, this Universal Memorial Center will probably be the finest that this state or the Southwest has ever known. The Universal Memorial Center, formerly the Ragsdale Mortuary, the most modern and complete funeral home and mortuary in Arizona. Let's look at the story in Brotherhood. William Ragsdale established a home undertaking company in Muskogee, Indian Territory, now Oklahoma, in 1889. His five sons, William, Hartwell, Lewis, Howard, and Theodore Ragsdale, followed in their father's footsteps and were all licensed as embalmers and funeral directors. In 1917, the name was changed to the Ragsdale and Sons Funeral Home, and new motorized equipment was put into operation. In 1948, the third generation, Hartwell W. Ragsdale II and Lincoln J. Ragsdale, opened the Ragsdale Mortuary in Phoenix, Arizona. Today, in 1965, we are attempting to meet the challenge of the hour, brotherhood and integration. In line with the thinking of the NAACP, the Urban League, and the great leaders for brotherhood like Dr. Martin Luther King, we believe that now is the time for brotherhood. All God's children working together, black men and white men serving each other, and in line with the 1964 Civil Rights Act on non-discrimination, we have integrated our complete operation. We now have black and white working side by side, serving Catholic and Protestant, Gentile and Jew. The Ragsdale Mortuary has integrated and presents to this community the new Universal Memorial Center dedicated to the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Freedom and equality have been a struggle for the Negro. Courageous white and black men have risked their careers and their lives to advance the cause of freedom and brotherhood. To these men and women of action, we dedicate this unusual calendar. We extend appreciation to Hartwell W. Ragsdale II of Anderson Ragsdale Mortuary in San Diego, California, who did the research and the production for this calendar. At this time, I would like to present to you Mrs. Eleanor Ragsdale, the director of the Ragsdale Mortuary. She will come to you and welcome you today. Mrs. Ragsdale.
Dunbar for relinquishing his right to come over today to be with us, because we need you here today for a very special reason. We want to make a small contribution to your treasury for some of the wonderful work that we know that you do in this community. We know that you get many calls from all different areas of the city when families are in need and when perhaps ministers are in need, or the widows of ministers are in need. And if Reverend Harrison would step to the front, I would like to present this check with our love. And may God add a blessing to what we're contributing for your treasury to carry on the good work of your organization.
Thank you very much.
It's in the amount of $25.
That a man or a woman is only what he believes. If you don't believe enough in something to stand up for it and say, yes, I believe in this, regardless of who else does, we're not really much of a person. And it was because of your belief in what God said to your heart that you chose the straight and narrow road to be a minister. And I'm sure that this was not an easy decision to make. And I believe today, and have all my life, since I was a little girl running around a cemetery in Collindale, Pennsylvania. Maybe you don't know it, but I was born in a cemetery. It was sort of a farm life, I'd say, because Dad had a garden. It was during the early Depression, you know, and if you didn't have a garden, you sometimes didn't have much on the table to eat. And so we had our own little garden, and we rode those old workhorses that took the lawn devices out to the graves. We rode them around and had a mighty good time. And I walked through that cemetery to school in the morning, home at noon to lunch, and back again, and back home again in the evening. And so I passed many a tombstone and saw many a funeral procession come and go. And I learned to talk to God early in life. And I didn't have a fear of the dead, because I was associated too closely. And I saw too much beauty in that cemetery, because thank God my childhood was happy. And when I think back there where my father now lays, and many friends who I knew as a child, I associate death with something beautiful. And even though we don't understand all that death is, certainly there should be something beautiful about it. And I believe that there is a destiny that makes us brothers, that none goes his way alone, that all that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own. And I have a special feeling and a belief about ministers and about ministers' wives. I believe that you were born with something special, that God gave you a certain gift, a gift of love in your heart, a gift to feel God's message when he sent it, a feeling of urgency that each day is the day that you must work for God's good on earth, that you must help people to see the good and the bad and the evil and the beautiful in life, and that you must help them make decisions for making their life happier. And because you walk close with God and therefore talk with him, I respect you and love you. And sometimes we don't tell people about this love. It doesn't have much to do with a physical relationship as he does with an emotional feeling inside. Because a person stands for the right, and a person helps to guide others for the right. And because we love you and respect you and your opinions, we asked you to come here today to think with us and to help us. Because life is surely full of decisions, and they're not always easy. There's not always a decision to make whether I should kill a man or not kill him, whether I should tell the truth or tell a lie, whether I should steal or not steal. These decisions might sometimes be easy because they're definite, here or here. But all the decisions that are not that clear. Who should I marry? Who should I take as a wife? That's not always clear. Whether I should become a minister or whether I should take that job where I can make a little more money. It's not so clear. Whether I should go out and put my bucket down in Phoenix, Arizona, where you don't have a lot of rich people, but where people need me so much. Or whether I should go on to the sunny shores in some other town where people have money and give more of their financial means. That isn't always easy. And my friends, whether I should have caught that train and come to Phoenix, Arizona was not easy. Whether I should marry Lincoln Ragsdale or that other fellow back in Pennsylvania who wanted to make me his wife, it wasn't so easy. But God didn't promise life easy. He sometimes tries you. Just like in the Bible. Oh, the men who've been tried, the women who've been tried. And these times are no different than those times. People are the same. The same stuff we're made of, they were made of then. The same decisions that are hard to make are here now as then. And oh, God tries us. And he has tried us, dear friends. We have prayed literally on our knees and off about this memorial center. These are changing times. And they make new demands. And are we equal to the task is the question. We asked you here today to help us make that decision. Won't you think with us? Won't you pray with us? The decision isn't easy, but we love you. And we respect your opinion. And we ask you to help us to look up, not down. To look forward, not back. To look out, not in. And lend us a hand.
Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Ragsdale. Gentlemen, ladies, we have met here today on a threshold of a new era. For many years now, we have been toiling. Many of us have been marching. We have been fighting. We have been struggling. And what have we been struggling for? We have been struggling for integration. We have said that we want to integrate. Men like George Brooks have been threatened. He was preparing for a march downtown, and he got a phone call. They say, don't do it. We're going to shoot whoever's in the front line. You see, many of us have gotten threatened calls. Many of you have been confronted with this situation. People have told you, well, you don't need to integrate. Stay in your place or just wait a little while. You see, maybe your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, they will enjoy this. And you ask them, well, what about me? So we are here today, and we are on a new threshold of a new era. We are testing whether this nation or any nation can live in segregation. But since we have asked for integration, we have something that we must do. We must be integrationists ourselves. You see, for many years, we've talked about integration, but we have not been integrationists ourselves. We have talked about something that we really don't want. We have talked about something that we want the white man to give off, you see. But that was a survey made once, and we find that Negroes segregate as much as anyone else. So we have been marching here. Those of us who work for the Valley Life Insurance Company and the Ragsdale Mortuary have participated in many marches and many civil rights movements. We have asked ourselves, why don't we integrate? So we began integrating. We began first by integrating our life insurance company. We hired a white lady in our office. We hired a white man to sell insurance for us. For you see, we can't go around talking about something that we don't do ourselves. You see, many times we have been hypocrites about this integration matter, you see, and we discriminate more than some of our white brethren. So we have to be careful. See, Mr. Ragsdale walking downtown telling the mayor, you people are segregating against our people, and he looks at him and says, well, do you have any white people working for you? That's a very real question, isn't it? It's a very real question. So we have to be careful, and we have to be cognizant of the fact that if we are to integrate, we must begin at home, you see. We must integrate our minds. We must integrate our hearts. For if we don't do this, we cannot integrate anyplace else. For there will always be that little segregation in the back of our minds and our hearts. So we are attempting today, we are attempting to do something that has never been done before in this state by Negroes. Now, it is true that the whites for many years have used our money to grow rich, to grow fat, you see, and to grow powerful. And it is true that if any of you would die, a white mortuary will certainly bury you. But we are attempting to do something that's even greater. We are attempting to integrate a mortuary, something that has never been done before. For you see, when we deal with the last remains, we get a little personal. We get a little more personal than perhaps even a doctor, you see. For this is the last thing that a family can do for their loved ones. So this is something that is more personal than perhaps anything else that we can do. But we are attempting to do this. Now, we have called you here today to ask for your prayers and your guidance, for certainly you are leaders in your community, and you know whether or not we can do this. We have called you here today because we want your advice on this matter. Now, this Universal Memorial Center that you have seen and you see here before me will be an integrated mortuary. An integrated. Now, you hear what I say? I didn't say segregated. I said integrated. Now, let's have some amens. See, now, this because we're coming home now. See, we're not going to the white man saying, you are not integrating. We're coming here and saying, we are not integrating. And the shoe's on the other foot. So, we're integrated. We're integrated. Now, are you with us? Are you with us? Do you think it's a good idea? Now, do you know what you're saying? You say amen, you say it's a good idea. You know what you're talking about? I see Reverend Monday back there. He's looking awful hard there, huh? You for it, Reverend? It's a good idea? All right. But this is something, and I want to reiterate, this is something very personal. This is something that has never been attempted before. This is something that has never been done before. Now, in our community, in your churches, you see, we have to be careful that our congregations don't start criticizing integration. You see, last night I talked over to Reverend Miller's church, and I talked about people going away from God. You see, people are now substituting a God-centered universe for a man-centered universe. And I said that men don't say, well, goodbye, God, we're going to leave you now. They don't say this. You see, they don't say this with their lips, but it's by their actions that they deny God. You see, so we have to be careful that by our congregation and our community's action that they do not deny integration, you see. Now, they might not say we are not for integration. They won't come out and say we are not for integration, you see. They won't say, Reverend, that's a bad thing. But by their actions, their very acts, they will deny integration, something that they have said they wanted for, lo, these many years. So this is what we have to be careful about. We have to tell our congregations that integration is a good thing. And if it's to work, it must work throughout our entire lives, you see. It can't work, say, on some employer's job. That's not integration, you see. That's not integration when Negroes are able to work at a white man's company. That's not integration. It's not integration when Negroes are able to eat at a white man's lunch counter. You see, this is not integration, you see. Integration is much greater than the little marching that we have done, integrating lunch counters and integrating different places of employment. So the word integration is very big. And it means that we have to integrate throughout our lives, throughout the society that we live in. We have found that the economy of Arizona is not the greatest economy in the world. Mrs. Ragsdale mentioned that you men have come here to Arizona, and you didn't come here for monetary gains, I'm sure. For if you were looking for monetary gains, you would have gone to greener pastures. For you know, and I know, that your congregations don't pay you a lot of money. In fact, they don't give a lot of money. So you didn't come here just for monetary gains. You see, Mr. Ragsdale could have chosen a much better place than Phoenix to open a mortuary. He could have gone to Los Angeles, California, where there are nearly a million Negroes, you see, to draw from, if he had wanted to make large sums of money in the mortuary business, you see. But that was a need for it here, you see. So today there is a need. There is a need for integration throughout our lives. And we are trying to attempt to integrate a mortuary, something that has never been done before. And I cannot say this too many times, for in your minds, you have to get the picture, you see. If you're to talk about integration, then we must begin, you see. We must begin. John F. Kennedy said, let us begin. So we must begin to integrate. And we call you here today to reveal this, what we have kept a secret for some time, to you first. For you are the leaders of the community. And we ask for your prayers in this effort. At this time, I would like to present to you the man who has gotten this brainstorm, a man who has perhaps staked his life on an idea, a man who has risked the welfare of his family on an idea, You see, when you deal in this integration thing, and the white man knows this, when you deal in this integration thing, you risk something, you see. You risk something. Our white brothers in the South, they don't care about you going into that restaurant, giving them your money to eat their food. This is not what they're worried about. They're worried that the white people might not trade with them and they will lose all, you see. So in integration, you risk something. Well, here's a man who is risking something. And we want you to understand this, for this is a great effort. This is a great attempt to do something even greater than has been done in the past. For this has never been done before. So at this time, let us welcome Lincoln Ragsdale.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Reverend Harrison, and to you ministers here, I want to welcome you this morning, and I promise you a nice lunch in just a few minutes. We're going to go to another place. But I'm very concerned today because of several reasons. You know, we always getting up hollering, and I do this. If I take one step, God will take two. And I'll holler and say, if I got the faith, I know you got the power. But when it comes right down to Lincoln Ragsdale, to say, well, I have the faith to walk the water, the faith to walk the water, I wonder sometimes if I can do it. I am asking myself and asking you this morning, and you're going to have to decide this morning with me, because I'm willing today to lose $8,000 rather than to lose everything I have. I have something been burning in my heart for a number of years, and saying that there's a destiny, that's something that we're here for. Yeah. Certainly, I could leave Phoenix. God in heaven knows this. I told Reverend Kimnick the other day. I have an opportunity to go some other place. But am I running away from something? Or I'm not called to leave. I'm called to stay here. Like Reverend Kimnick was called to finish his church before he would leave.
Yeah, that's right.
He had an opportunity to leave several years ago, but to leave then would have let those of us in the hole or in the basement down. I'm concerned. I'm confused. Let me tell you what the problem is. Let's define this problem. We are saying, here we have a Negro mortuary. We are saying now that we are a mortuary operated by colored folk. That's a difference. You see a difference in it? Most of the time when we integrate something, we say we done gone to the white man's place. And we're going to bring the white man to the black man's place. This is a difference in it. You see, this is a whole new concept. Usually we think of ourselves as not good enough. We have been told some way we black and we ain't good as white folk. And our cafe is not good as the white man's cafe. And when I take you down to eat, I must go to a white place because we integrated. You see, this is what I'm thinking about. Now, it's a question here. This is a big thing. You are in on a thing that could determine many things. Now, I'm willing, if you tell me to lay my chest bare, to be stabbed. Let me explain to you what we're talking about. I have made a tentative arrangement to borrow some money. And in the process of borrowing this money, there's no economic reason that we need a nicer mortuary than this one for colored people. There's no reason for me to go and do that billing you see on the front of the counter we gave you if it's just for us. Now, let me point out to you some things that happened the last few years. There's not one successful Negro motel or hotel in the United States today except those that have made the big step. Look in Phoenix. What hotel do you have in this town? The Rice Hotel 20 years ago was a big place when I first came in. Louis Jordan lived there. Duke Ellington would come to town and stay there. Isn't this true?
That's right.
But what has happened in 20 years? Somewhere along the line, we didn't take the big step. Last week, Nat King Cole died, didn't he? Who buried him? White man. Sam Cooke, the great singer, he died 3 weeks ago. His final resting place was in the white place. Usually a white place integrates, and then we come running to him. A.L. Moore, in the next 5 to 10 years, will say, I'm integrating, I'll put a colored embalmer down here, and I want all you colored folk to come on down because we white folk will let you colored folk in. And I'm certain we're going to lose some business. And Los Angeles, Elder McKinley said, well, you colored folk are not too bad, and I'm going to integrate the mortuary on down. And he had last year told me he buried 350 colored folk. A white mortuary there. More folk than I've buried 3 years. And the question comes back again. A Negro mortuary, if he says, I'm going to bury white folk, what happens? It's never been tried. Now, I have a choice here. I am considered a colored funeral home. Maricopa County writes a letter here, and I have it right here. It says that I can only bury colored folk. Says, wherever East Lake Mortuary and Rangel Mortuary are colored places, and they shall handle all colored people. Here it is right here. They're not qualified to handle white folks. We do not know what we're doing. I have a letter here from the state of Arizona, the state hospital on 24th and Van Buren, from the Arizona State Hospital. Here it is here. And we are colored folks, and we must only handle colored people. And when I object to this on the 5th day of February, objected to it, all the white march words right down my neck. Says, nigga, what you trying to do? And remember this, when you do this, when you're pioneering in this new thinking, we're not talking about integration going to the white man's mortuary. We're not picketing A.L. Moore. We're not picketing Mercer Whitney. We're not picketing Mercer mortuary to go to his place, are we?
No.
We're saying to them, we are opening a mortuary here for all people. And what would hurt me worse than in the world would be my ministers to stab me in my back. When I open up this thing.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
And this is why I'm here today with you. I'm going willing to lay my neck on the chopping block for you. To say to them, it has to start somewhere, Reverend Hunter.
That's right.
You see, it's been for years that Negroes have gone to the white churches and they get down with a prayer their way in.
Yeah.
You've seen them all over the South.
Right.
But then nobody wants to come to your church.
That's right.
Don't tell me, some of you can preach better than any white man.
Yeah.
I was in Tempe the other day and he said, Brother Harrison preached out there. He said, we sure like to have him for a pastor.
Yeah.
White man called me that, Brother Harrison, told me that. He preached out there 2 weeks ago, Sunday. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Time is coming. You gotta think about these things. Now, I don't know what to do. Because what happens is this. Once you attack these people, see, Maricopa County cannot legally send this thing out. See, if a white man gets killed right in front of my place here,
yeah,
they wouldn't let me pick him up.
Good.
The county of Maricopa County says, oh, no, I can't pick him up if he's killed and the family won't pick him. But if a white man dies, they have private mortuaries or the coroner's what they call them that come get the people. Why should I not? If it's good enough for you, it should be good enough for all people.
That's right.
I have, and it's long we talked about this thing for a few years.
Yeah.
We did what we call a feasibility study. The bank, down at the bank, you understand? Because I wouldn't be partners like that. Says it can't be a success. So nobody wants to use no Covington bombs. And the man may be right. I don't know if he's wrong. You see, because I believe in the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, does not mean that I'm going to be successful. Maybe right will win in the end, but where is the end? I could be dead and buried.
Amen.
See, I don't want you to run me out of town.
That's right.
I know a white man gonna fight. I know if a white march in town gonna be on my neck.
Yeah. That's right.
I know this. But I want you not to fight me. I didn't say support me. Get out and do nothing for me. Don't fight me. Pray for me. That's all I ask. Pray for me.
Yeah.
Pray for me. And help give me the strength that I can carry on. That's all I ask of you. These are new times. These are things that I know that you don't understand, but I don't understand. And who do I go to for first advice? I called my father and mother. I said, Daddy, says, nigga, I don't understand what you're doing. It's like you're going to lose your mind. My brother said in California, says, Lincoln, don't do it. It's dangerous because the Negroes are killing you first. So you got a white man down there with you. If you lie, get out of town, you got a white man down there, honey. I ain't going to use him. This is murderous. And I need your support this morning. If you don't want it, tell me. If you say that I'm doing the wrong thing, you see, the whole question of this, I know it's going to come. I know it has to come. Maybe not in my day. The time is the only question I have in my mind today. Is my timing good? They told me that I could be successful if I move away from the colored folk and move across the other side of town. Maybe this don't have to do with the colored people. But I'm running away from my people. I'm not trying to hide. I'm black. My dad is a colored man.
That's
right. I'm trying to hide from the fact that I'm Negro. I believe that there are all white folk are not bad.
No.
There's some good white folk if I open the door for all of this. And now here, we have integrated. Will you come and use us if we are here?
Yeah.
We plan to build. We have to give something new.
Yeah.
This new mortuary will be a new chapel. We're going to close that door off completely. Do all this over, put doors here, put two lots next door and park it. Completely tear down the whole back section here.
Yeah.
And do this mortuary as nice and as fine as A.L. Moore.
Yeah.
Okay, mercy. But there's no way in the world for me to pay for it. Very difficult for it. You see, I know that I'm only going to bury just about half of the coat. contract. A wife is not the kind of woman they like. I'm going to use somebody else. I don't like Lady. That nigga ain't no good no
time.
There's no way in the world for me to satisfy everybody. If I give a man $5 for Christmas film, he says, she'll give me 15. I mean, I know everybody can't be with me. I know this. We kind of build something here that when people come by, you can come in and show them.
Yeah.
See, now this is a mortuary here in Phoenix that we have among our people that we offer to all the people. Jews and Gentiles. Catholics and Protestants. White and black. Complete integrated. See, I don't want to have a white man to come to a funeral with me in your church and you refuse to preach a funeral. That's what I'm talking about today. When I integrate, I got to have a white man on staff with me. I can't go out no funeral at your church and a white man comes in there with me. Leave the folk, he says, honey, we ain't going to have no funeral. That white people come down. You follow me? This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I know I'm going to go to some places and some white churches and they're going to say, well, I'm not going to let those as a color fan. I don't want him in here. I know that I'm going to have bodies in this mortuary where they're going to come move out. I know that if I get the county month from the state that we have a body and some white watcher are going to call them on the phone and say, you know that Universal Center is a nigger place. Yeah. You want some other down there with those niggers? How about me and you?
Yeah.
Well, see, they call us that.
Yeah. Right.
That's an inflammatory word, see, yeah. To make hate grow.
Yeah.
I know they're going to do this. Now, I want to know, are you with me in this whole thing?
Yeah.
You are? Yeah. The bank wants to know, what do your people want to do? This is what they give you. And keep you with the strict now. There's a bad mouth on you.
Amen. Yeah.
There's a bad mouth on you. See, I told you you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. Because, you know, we ain't ready yet. Now, we ain't going to say that. The white man going to say words. This is where I am. The title and trust. I had one thing. To prove this loan.
Yeah.
And it means that we're going to have to borrow $11,000 to do this. And as I said before, there's no reason to do it for color folks.
Right.
Because statistics prove that color folks don't want things too nice.
That's right.
The white man told me that at the bank. The first night the bank told me that Negroes don't want things too nice. If you make it too nice, you're going to lose more of your business. Well, they're going to say it costs too much. You know how we talk. They say Reverend Kimmy's church is too nice. And I ain't going there because you got to pay those bills. And let me give them all my money to them. You know what I'm talking about. You heard this. This is a question.
Yeah.
I do not know the answer. But I need you today to help me to do this. I need you to help me with this. Now, we're building this mortuary, a new idea. We have a what we call the universal. I'm changing the name. You know I'm changing the name?
Yeah.
Let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
The name right they all mean color, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've been running Brooks too much. That's my mistake.
That's right.
I would run Brooks too much. This is an ACC thing. Even some of my own people say, well, I don't know what your motive is, what y'all doing, you know Brooks. You and old Brooks, that looks like old
Brooks.
What y'all doing now? What y'all doing? What's your motive? What they need? The tactics are, you're good people, but you're doing wrong. You shouldn't march on those white folks.
Yeah.
Now, I had to change the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now we study this thing over here. Right, they'll be black. Change the name to Universal Memorial Center.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you don't have to explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
A Jew downtown, his name is Gutenberg, he might change his name to Harris. A Harrison, it's an easy American name. Why bring more hate on me? You follow me? So I'm changing the name to Universal Memorial Center. You know what it is. I got farming rag sales on here. But next year, it won't have no rag sales tied in nowhere. Because your own people resent you sometimes your name got too big.
Amen.
They don't want your name big up there. I don't like that rag dust. You got to go. So by changing your name, you don't get the hate from them. Now, we're building in this new Washington where we turn on the garage and back, the next two lots over next door. If you say so, we're going to do this next week. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go, but I can turn back. That's how I'm found to make sure. And I'm going to turn back if you all are with me. I'd rather lose 8,000 and go on to something else, lose everything I own. But I'm taking my house, my wife, my four children, $100,000 behind it. On the back of it, we're building what we call the Universal Memorial Center. We'll have three apartments, motel apartments, that are free when people come here to a funeral. They can stay there free of charge. Part of the center. We have in the rooms where the bodies will be laid out, where the garden outside, where the glass, whole walls in glass, and you can look in there and you'll have a garden of Gethsemane. Get some plants from Africa brought in here. See, I'm proud of my black folks.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of my mother. I'm not trying to hide none from it. I believe if I'm good enough for you, I'm good enough for those white folks.
Yeah.
That's what I mean behind it. We're gonna elevate this thing in reverse. That the white folks come to the black folks a while.
Yeah, it's all right.
They'll come to us black folks a little bit. Let's keep this thing in reverse.
Yeah.
You talking about integration is us going within.
Yeah.
Run out of Western Hall and give them all our money down here. That's going to bring it down here.
Let's
do this thing together.
All right.
If you have any questions, I can answer the question when I'm trying to talk with you. Please ask me. Call one of the clients. Would you come forward, please? And I'm going to the bank. And my last question. Does the man have a legitimate question? The banker wants to know, do we, you leaders, approve of this in principle? You see, a lot of people are hollering the fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, but it doesn't mean me. We believe that we should integrate, but it doesn't mean I should integrate. They don't really mean all of these things that you and I have talked about so long. And actually, the man in the bank looks at us and looks at what we're doing. Are we completely segregated ourselves?
No.
Don't we keep ourselves and say, this is ours? We use this term. This is for us. I need nobody but you. Do you really want to enter? Do you believe in this in principle? I don't say do you believe in me necessarily. But do you believe in the principle I'm talking about? If so, I'd like to ask your cooperation, and I have all this here information, and whatever you decide. And I'd like to have some comments from some of you, and help me make this decision, please. If I can answer any questions, I'd be happy.
Mr. Ackerman, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Are this going to be a stock company? Just want us to say whether we are with you or with it or not. Oh, it's going to be a stock company. You're going to be selling stock in.
Thank you very much, Reverend. You asked a good question. It is a stock company. But I'm not asking you to buy anything. You see, the reason that we decide not to make it public stock is two reasons. For the first thing, the people will say, they're trying to make someone, you see, we don't understand stock.
That's right.
Let's be honest. Now, we don't understand stock. Stock means cows and horses to both of us. And you say you're selling some stock. The most of us, most Negroes, only stock that we ever know about is a stock that's full of trickery and gyp.
Yeah.
Because the white man got good stock from the Valley National Bank, never comes to your house.
Yeah.
If that guy selling some stock in some little corporation that's going bankrupt, he comes around to you. So we have decided to stay away from the stock issue. Unless a Negro walks in and comes in and asks for it, then we'll do it. We're not trying to sell no stock. They've got the financing lined up. We don't want you to sign up to buy nothing. Because it was fighting away. You see, if I said this, you got a book here. The people said, I knew this was tricky. Get some of your money. I know what you want. So we're trying to make it as simple as possible. All we want from you is two things. It's your prayers. I mean sincere prayers. First, let's go to Jesus with this thing. I've been praying on it. Your prayers that we're doing the right thing at the right time. You see, the right thing done at the wrong time is wrong.
Yeah.
I want to be sure we're doing the right thing at the right time. Need your prayers, need your support. That's all we want. We don't want just to support. Keep your money. You want some of this? Fine, well, we have stock of it. We're not trying to ask you to buy it. Because all it would do is hurt us, we think. Thank you. Am I asking you a question, sir? If any other body wants to answer.
Raise a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Bradfield, I'd like to ask you two questions. Number one, is there any legal basis by which the state of Arizona or Maricopa County could prevent you from embalming the body of the white person if you decided to do so? You
no, sir.
Talk about the letter.
They cannot do it. We embalm, we bury maybe 10 or 15 whites a year here. Maybe 10 whites and whites, I mean literally whites, these are Mexicans and Indians, other people.
Yeah.
But by custom, and I have condoned this, and I'm as far as much as anybody else. Yeah. Mr. Weber and myself both condone it. We tell the white people, we color the face, we color the face. Yeah. We say to them, look in, we color, we don't want you white folks to have us color by it. Give them Mr. Weber, said. We've been doing what we call a handkerchief head Negro. I have one, and Weber's been one. Y'all ain't running talking about, well, we colored now, and y'all said us all colored folks. Y'all had a white folks. I done done this for all my life. I don't. I go down here for white men. I can give a body once, but then he's white, and I call, I said, I made a mistake. I got a white man. And if I get a person down there, Elmore calls, says, look, right, we got a boy down here. We thought he was white, light skinned, but he's color. Come get this Negro. I said, yes, Mr. Moore. And I'm down there because it makes some money to me to eat. That's what makes you a Indian head.
Yeah.
Man said, where's the color film home? I said, here I am. I'm asking a question. Legally, they can't do it. But I have allowed it to happen. I've been a handkerchief head, Uncle Tom. Here's Uncle Tom, here. I'm not Uncle Tom. Yes, all right, man. I won't cut up for you. I've done it all my life. And it's time for me to do something now.
Amen.
If you want me to.
Amen.
Maybe I should be an Uncle Tom. Maybe you want me to be this. If you want me to be colored, I'm willing to be colored. I'm willing to tell the world that I'm wrong. That we put up folk want this, and I'm going to do it. I'll do what you say to this morning. Because we're going to ask you to tell me what you want. Pardon me, that's
the second question. I'm pretty sure you have, but have you, I'd like to ask you, do you know by survey, or do you have a reasonable, are there reasonable indications that if you constructed this structure you're talking about, that your patronage among people of the people would increase? Yeah. Good reason to believe that.
Let me answer that. That's a good question. In Maricopa County, they have approximately 1,200 people who die each year who are coroners and county people. If I become an integrated mortuary and can sue the county, I will automatically get 100 of those people. Because then I'm getting all people. You follow me?
Right.
Yeah.
I would automatically get 25 people a year, come out a year,
yeah,
from the state hospital, by instituting the suit with them. I've been on, we've talked about it. When's they going to meet at the county about this? I have to go down there and win. You know, I'm going to retreat, I'm going to go far. I have reason to believe that out of the 6,000 people who died in this area, that approximately 5% of them, white people, who don't care who buried them.
Right.
As long as you give them a good price and give them good service, they don't care what color you are.
That's right.
I have reason to believe that 5% now, 5% of 6,000 would be 300, wouldn't it?
Right.
That's more people than all Negroes out in the whole state in a year. So out of the 5%, if I want to get half of those, I could make it. You follow me?
Yeah.
And the first year I might starve to death. My wife and I are prepared, listen to me, gentlemen, prepared to lose our home. I'm prepared to move down to a place here. I'm emotionally prepared for this. I'm prepared to give away everything I own and just to hold on to this for 2 years. Why? I'm trying to prove something.
Yeah.
Sometimes a man goes a long way down to prove something, doesn't he? Maybe I'm going too far, I don't know. But I might not have to go this far. If I could continue to maintain the same Negro business that we have, I could make it a year before they can foreclose on me. It takes 6 months to foreclose on me, you see. Then in the meantime, the county business should come to a head. The thing should come to a head. Then I don't know where I stand there. Then they're going to try to freeze me. I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, right. If a forensic went under the state much of the laws of the state of Arizona laws, and the telegram replied, and also in Arizona as in other states, and continued to be in the state, that in order to secure a contract from a veteran administration hospital, you must be information. Would this also be granted this privilege of this statute?
Thank you. The Veterans Hospital realizes this, went to them over a year ago and talked to them about it. And they cancel all veterans contracts. So what they do now, if you die at the Veterans Hospital, they say to the people, here are the colored marks where they're getting white. That kills the veteran again, doesn't it? Because they took away the contract. Now, I don't qualify for any the contract at the Williams Field. Let me tell you why I don't qualify. I'm not good enough. I'm not, at this stage. I got to do this before I qualify.
Oh, sure.
See, they don't give it to the lowest bid, the lowest price, but you got to have something to offer.
That's right.
See, I can bear a man for the government and say, I can do nothing. My lowest price would be $100. But I ain't got $100 worth. Well, A.L. Moore is saying $250, his is worth $250. I'm saying $100, but I'm not even worth $100. Because, see, I don't have the same equipment here as they have with A.L. Moore. What I mean by that, it doesn't look as nice.
That's right.
And the law says it must be the lowest and best bid. Best, B-E-S-T. And the best doesn't mean it's the lowest price. Williams Field said you got to get the lowest and the best. And they said, well, right, I'm sorry, your facilities are not quite equal to the white folks.
Good.
And the man said, your street's not paved out here. You know how long I've been making that street paved? And tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock before the board in the city council, I paved this street. The man don't want to come to a place where the street's not paved. This is one, and they cost $7,000 to pay that street one block. This is what I got a problem. I got a problem here. I'm trying to do some things that are not quite customary.
Yes.
So now, have I answered your question, sir? Not Mr. Coleman, would you present that?
Fine. Mr. Ragsdale mentioned that there's some question in the bank's mind, whether or not, it's not the question, I should say, whether the white people will support this, but whether the Negro will support this. And I have a resolution here. We're going to ask you if you believe in this idea, see, because we need to know today whether or not we can go forward with this idea. And actually, you are the one who will decide. So I have here in my hand a resolution, and I'll read it to you, and as I read it, you listen to it and see if you want to sign it. This is what it amounts to. We, the undersigned, in line with the thinking of the NAACP, the Urban League, and great leaders for brotherhood in our time, like Dr. Martin Luther King and President Lyndon B. Johnson, believe that now is the time for brotherhood, all God's children working together, black man and white man serving each other and in line with the 1964 Civil Rights Act on Non-Discrimination, do hereby resolve as follows. It is hereby resolved that we will encourage the construction of the Universal Memorial Center on the express principles of integration and brotherhood, and hereby express our faith in God and belief in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, and that all men, black and white, should and can work together in love and mutual respect. It is further resolved that we ministers, leaders, and interested citizens do hereby petition the Universal Memorial Center to continue in this idea of brotherhood. Did everyone get that? Fine. Now, we would like for you to sign this if you believe in what we have said this morning. And we would like to have all of your signatures, for we have to show the bank that we believe in integration.
Leaving the state, but I want to be the first to sign it.
You'll hear about it, Reverend. I'm running out. I may join you.